Hello and welcome to the podcast again. This podcast for the fourth Sunday of Advent I've titled The Obedience of Faith, taking up a phrase that St. Paul uses in the letter to the Romans for this Sunday. So let me begin and explain what that means, what St. Paul means, and also how it applies to us. I think you'd probably agree with me that we live in a world that has largely forgotten its roots, is suspicious of its history, and has closed its eyes to the unseen world, the spiritual world. When it does look at the spiritual, it seems to be more fascinated with the occult or some vague idea about angels. It has been said that to live this way is to live in a world without windows, meaning one's perspective and vision is almost universally the restricted horizon of self. At variance with this, and indeed in opposition to it, is the Christian stance of the obedience of faith. In the letter to the Romans, St. Paul reminds them and us that the mystery kept secret for endless ages has now been made so clear in Jesus Christ, and that it must be broadcast everywhere to bring people to the obedience of faith. As well, he boldly says that this is the way that the eternal God wants things to be. Well, from Holy Scripture today, we are given two people who demonstrate this obedience of faith: King David and the Blessed Virgin Mary. King David was one who came to the obedience of faith slowly and over time, and as such he is an encouragement to us. David committed the mortal sins of adultery and murder. God called him to repentance through the experience of the death of his newly born son, and David responded with contrition. We have that prayer of contrition in Psalm 50. What we hear in the first reading of today's sacred liturgy is from a time in David's life after that, when he is settled in his kingship in Jerusalem and deeper in his commitment to God. And so aware of the many blessings God has given him, and to express his thanks, King David desires to build a temple in Jerusalem, a house for God. But what does the Lord say to David? You are not to build the temple. He does not say that he is wrong to desire to do so, but that the Lord will make known when it is the proper time. To go back to the image of a windowless world, God is saying to David, no, you need to look out through the window to the spiritual realities that I will reveal to you, and I will tell you when it is time to build. And in evidence of that, God casts David's vision well into the future, when a descendant of his will have a secure sovereignty and a throne established forever. And we know who that is, don't we? And this brings us to Mary, the sinless one, who is full of grace, who will conceive and bear a son, who through Joseph and Mary is a true descendant of David. He will rule over the house of Jacob forever, and his reign will have no end. Though her heart was greatly troubled, she speaks plainly and directly. Behold, I am the handmaid of the Lord. May it be done to me according to your word. Through this answer, she conceives of the Holy Spirit. The Son of God becomes incarnate in her womb, and God dwells in the midst of his people. The great mystery of salvation is set in motion. In his kindness, God gives us an imperfect and a perfect model of the obedience of faith. King David to encourage us onwards, and the Blessed Virgin Mary to be our model to inspire us. We have to be honest and say, obedience is not a popular word, even among members of the Church. The currents of rebellion against authority, as well as individualism, run deep and strong around us, and we can be affected by them. The Christian understanding of obedience is not grudging submission to someone who will harm us. Rather, it is a sincere listening and a willing hearing, as the derivation of the word says. Obedience comes from two Latin words, ob and audire, which means to bend towards and to listen to. So to obey in faith means to submit freely to the word that has been heard, because its truth is guaranteed by God, who is truth itself and cannot lie. Our duty towards God is to believe in him and to bear witness to him, so that we do not live in a world without windows, so that I am not consumed by my own perspective and vision. All of us, according to our vocation and state of life, must live in the obedience of faith to Christ and to the deposit of faith that he gave to his Church. And here is a good moment, or an appropriate moment rather, to just turn our attention briefly to the latest document that was issued by the Vatican on the 18th of December, which seems to permit the blessing of same-sex couples and same-sex unions. There's a lot being said about it, and I don't have time and I don't have everything settled in my mind about it. And also, I have to be mindful that the first to make some response should be our bishops. Many bishops in other parts of the world have certainly spoken already. But let me just say that I find this document has added to the turbulence in the Church and has sowed confusion amongst the faithful. And the bits that I've read of it, I find that it has a mischievous construction. It seems to be contradictory in itself, and it seems also to be a contradiction of the clear and previous doctrine that the Church has taught. It claims that this is a development of doctrine, but I can't agree with that. I think it's a false development, in fact, a corruption of the doctrine of the faith. And it makes a distinction between blessing people and blessing a union or relationship. But I find that a distinction without a difference. And the way the secular media has reported it would tend to give evidence of that. So, in the light of just what's happened in the last few days, we must maintain our obedience of faith to the deposit of faith that Christ has given us, not to some or any new supposed developments. And we must pray even more fervently for the Church, and that Christ, who is the head of the Church, will intervene to bring the Church back to what he has given us. But just back now to ourselves and our own obedience to the faith. In all things that God demands of us or requires of us, he never just makes the demand or the requirement. He also gives the Holy Spirit, who comes to give us the grace to achieve it. And this grace comes to us through the sacraments of matrimony and holy orders, and their continuing graces they give to those who have received those sacraments, and to every member of the Church, the graces that come through the repeated sacraments of penance and Holy Communion. I also urge you, particularly for consolation and help in these troubled times, to find saints, perhaps many saints, whom you admire. All of those in heaven lived in the obedience of faith. And the saints that you admire and you gather as your patrons could be the ones of your baptism and confirmation, but any others that you find attractive or inspiring in any way. All of us need many heavenly friends along this way of the obedience of faith. For the last time, our Advent prayer, and it's perhaps even more needed at this time. Come, Lord Jesus. O come.